told you before that I was going to speak a little bit about the new year and the new life. It is a new year today, 2017. How many of you thought that you would actually see the year 2017? We never know what many things are going to come up. We never know what things are going to be presented in our lifetime. We never know what the outcome is going to be. But we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to pull us through there. While this is always, while this is a new year, we always want to do better than what we did last year. You know, we always we want to do things different. We want to read our Bibles more. We want to lose weight. We want to do right by others. We want to, maybe it's time for a career change. We want another child. We want to pray for more grandchildren. You see, the new year always brings these resolutions, we call them. Well, we look back on some of the resolutions that you've had in years past. What happened to them? Did they die down after about a week? Did you keep them maybe for a month? Or can you even remember what it was last year you were going to do? I'll take the latter. But today, what is your resolution for the new year? For you with Christ. For you with your walk with Him. I saw a church sign that said, I pray that your problems last as long as your New Year's resolutions. That's usually not very long, right? So we can hope for that. I can think of in retail, we always use a terminology of comp numbers. We always want to do better than last year. We always try to achieve better. You know, it's last year's numbers we're competing with, but we often want to. That's how we kind of set our tone for everything. We kind of when it comes to payroll and everything that we do. But with our life, you know, we can start over. At the new year, we have an opportunity. With the new year, we have a new year, but also, we can ask God to come into our hearts. We can ask Him for forgiveness. And we can start over.
Yes. Amen.
We don't have to deal with those things that we've had to put up with the last year because we tried to do it on our own. We have a chance this year that we can go through and make a clean start.
Yes.
We can go through and do those things. We can get rid of that past with a blast. We don't have to worry about those things that happened in our past because we want to be better.
Amen.
There's something in our last year that I know we're not proud of or something, and it might even be something for you that's unbecoming of a Christian. You see, we have things that occur to us all the time that our self comes out sometimes. We would like to think that we're all perfect, but I can tell you that I'm not. But the good thing is that we can start the new year out with a bang. I don't know if any of you participated in fireworks last night or you saw fireworks last night or your bang was your spouse snoring beside you. Whatever that bang might have been, you can start your new year off with a bang. You can start your new year off with a new you, a new spiritual you. Today we're going to talk about someone that Jesus saw, that saw Jesus and His miracles, but yet he still wanted to know more. He still had to meet Jesus and ask Him about that. It was like sometimes that, you know, he didn't have all the info, so he wanted to go and get that info. He wanted to dig a little bit more and find out exactly who this Jesus is. And what His purpose is, and if He could stand behind this man that we call Jesus. And we're talking about Nicodemus. If you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 7 here. You know, Nicodemus came up week before last. And he's coming up again. If you have that place in your Bible, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, please stand. As the Bible reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.'" Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you. As we talk about a new year, we also talk about a new life, a new spiritual life that we want to make better, and we must be born in this new spiritual life in order to receive the glories that you have for us. Right. Lord, I just pray today that this message will be what someone here needs to hear, or that someone can take this message to someone else that needs to hear this. Lord, I just pray for your understanding of our congregation and everything that we do, Lord, because our purpose is for you. Lord, I pray for our church as we go through this new planning, the new year. Lord, I just pray for your help and guidance in everything we do in our walk in our life in the new year. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this person, Nicodemus, he wanted to know more. He didn't really understand exactly, or he wanted to make sure that he got it right. You see the history behind Nicodemus. You see, the first time Nicodemus is mentioned in the Bible is identified as a prominent Pharisee who comes to see Jesus at night. You know, in John, he places this meeting shortly after the cleansing of the temple. You remember what cleansing of the temple was? It's when Jesus expels the merchants and the money chargers from the temple. And Jesus said that the temple had become a den of thieves. He said that the temple to Jesus, Jesus said that it was his Father's house. He links this to the signs which Jesus performed in Jerusalem during the Passover feast. He even said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and has come from God. For no one could perform these signs you are doing if God were not with him." He knew something was different about this person that they called Jesus. You see, it was all new to them. You see, this weren't something that, like today, like we have, it's been written and the events have already taken place. They were being done as we are reading today. Then follows a conversation with Nicodemus about the meaning of being born again or born from above. And the mention of seeing the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus explores the notion of literally being born again from one of a mother's womb. And, you know, and it says that Nicodemus was not a dumb person. What he was doing is trying to reiterate or trying to bring it back up and saying, "I know this isn't what you meant. What do you mean when you say that? What does it mean that you said that we have to be born again?" You see, he was trying to draw forth the true meaning. How many of us try to draw forth the true meaning? Or do we just run with what somebody says to us? Do we just listen to what everybody else says, the news says, or the gossip says, where somebody calls somebody and they call somebody else, and by the time that storyline gets back to you or whatever, that storyline has gone from one thing to another, and the dog done crossed the cat and the pig and everything else, and the horse and the cow, and I mean everything else has done it happen to this poor person or whatever, and it's just blown way out of proportion. You see, Nicodemus wanted to go straight to the horse's mouth, as they say. He wanted to go straight to Jesus and find out what was going on. Because Jesus, these events that are going on, Nicodemus was a prominent person, meaning that he was someone that the townspeople or that the village people looked up to. He was a person that they believed in. You know, Jesus did express surprise to know that a teacher of Israel did not understand the concept of spiritual rebirth. You know, he didn't understand why that he didn't, he said he didn't understand it.
Right.
And Nicodemus is not saying he was a very smart man, and theologians have said, Charles Ellicott said that was not what he was trying to do here. He was trying to just find out the true meaning. Nicodemus is described as an intelligent believer. He was somewhat timid, not easily initiated into the mysteries of the new faith. It was new. I want to say that Jesus was new then. The events of Jesus were still being written. But what's our excuse today? It's already been done for us.
That's right.
It's already been taken care of. But yet, we're no better.
That's right.
Sometimes.
That's right.
Some of us have done good. Some of us haven't. We know people that are still out there just wondering and doubting and not even wanting to change. In chapter 7, Nicodemus advises his colleagues among the chief priests and the Pharisees to hear and investigate before making a judgment concerning Jesus. You see, he was a prominent person like I talked about, so they were going to believe in him. They were going to listen to what he had to say. So what I'm going to tell you is that as gossip goes around or that we hear things sometimes, we need to go back and find out what that initial meaning was before we make that assumption.
Yeah.
Making an assumption not only hurts the person that you've done, but it scars your character.
That's right.
To who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they would mock that no prophet comes from Galilee. They just knew that there's no way that a man could come from Galilee and be a prophet. That was not going to happen. You see, it talks about the Sanhedrin too. If you look in that chapter, it talks about the Sanhedrin. And so Nicodemus was part of that. He was an influence on that. You see, this was a conference influenced by God. And it was basically somebody from every city. It's kind of like our Senate or House now. You have different areas. You got someone representing you. And that's what it was. They would get together and they would discuss things. They would discuss what was going on. And so Nicodemus was a big influence on that. So it's really good that Nicodemus did come and talk to Jesus and get that straight, if you will. Nicodemus influenced so many other people to follow Jesus by doing that, by believing in him, by having faith. How many of us today need to work on our faith a little bit?
Yeah.
How many of us today need to go back and ask him, what's the purpose? What's my purpose?
Right.
What can I do for you? There's talents out there, God, that I know that I have, but I'm not sure. I mean, I know I can do this. I know that I'm just afraid. I can't do it. What's 2017 going to bring for you? See, Nicodemus also was, when Jesus was buried, he brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 100 pounds. And for that, what that was meaning was that when they're embalming Jesus, according to Jesus' custom, it's showing that he was a great person. That they would have never done that 100 pounds for anybody else. But it meant that he was a great ruler, that he was a great person. It exceeds all normal proportions. It's more like a royal burial. You see, Nicodemus believed in him. And believed in his teachings. You know, a lesson can be learned this year as you grow out, you go out and you start a new year. Are we going to start this thing off right? I will say it's a great thing that we're in church.
Amen.
The first day of the year. The rest of our year should be good. We're starting it out right. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to have faith. We have to continue to go out there and be like Nicodemus and find out what's going on and pray for that situation. And not, just want to turn that on. It just bothered me. Jesus is the light. I didn't want to keep him off while he's there, okay? See, Nicodemus wanted to know more. He didn't just take what the word was. He set up that meeting to go see him. How often do we go to the source when we find problems? How many of us go to the source when we see situations going on? How many of us go to the source or try to find out or even get help from our God to help us with things that are going on? A lot of times we try to tackle this crazy mess all by ourselves, and there's no way that we're strong enough to handle those things. You see, we have so many things going on in our life that we sometimes forget who's in charge.
Right.
We want to keep him out of everything. We want to, we say we're the best Christian there ever was. We say that now we got the new year, we're going to have a New Year's resolution about that. And February 1st or whatever, we're going to forget all probably what we said. We just got, and things are going to happen and you're going to fall back down. I just pray that you're stronger than ever in 2017. I pray that whatever you're dealing with, that you got the strength to go on and deal with that. Any problems that come upon you, that you're able to deal with those and you're able to give it over to him and you're able to believe and have faith as Nicodemus did and find out what was really going on so he could promote this man called Jesus.
Amen.
He's a man of many blessings. He's a man of that can just do all things. He's a man that was sent here to understand and help us and to live a life here and live a life without sin.
Amen.
See, Nicodemus was, I'm sure, just couldn't understand that because he was seeing all the miracles that Jesus was doing. And there's no way that a normal person could do that. That's basically what he was saying.
Yep.
There's no way. So he knew that this man was of God. Well, we believe that this man is part of the Holy Trinity.
Yep.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace around towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of his service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He has given something to us.
Yes.
We can't go out there. If you don't go out there and want to do more, then guess what? You ain't going to do more. You ain't going to get more.
Right.
A church that goes out and wants to do more for the community is going to get results from the community. A church that don't will not. A person that don't want to do more or don't want to live their life the way that they should as Christians is not going to reap the benefits from that. You've heard, you reap what you sow.
Amen.
Sometimes we got to pay for it in a bad way through our through the court system or whatever. That's fine. Deal with it. But God can help you through it.
Amen.
There's a Christmas story out there that a guy that Dana and I know. Last year he was behind bars. And this year he's been ministering the word almost all year long. He's a great guy. You see, just because someone had a label on them before or a number that they were all listed by doesn't mean that that was his end.
That's right.
God probably got him there so he could shake him up.
Yep.
So he could do more with him, because now this gentleman is doing great for the Lord. Paul tells us about the gift that is given to us. Paul is wanting... He's talking to the Corinthians and he wants them to be eager again. He's telling them that if you don't do more, you're not going to get anything. You got to do more. You can't go out there. And like I talked about Wednesday, that that he's wanting them to do more. Go back to the basics. He's wanting them to be eager about what they're doing again. The new year brings eagerness back to us if we let it. The new year brings back those resolutions, something that we want to change in our life. And I just pray that one of those things is something about your walk with him.
Amen.
We have to stand firm in the word. Change is fine, but stand firm in the word. A couple of things we can do for the new year, and I'm going to wrap up here. First, we need to attend the services to receive God's gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. If you have not been faithful or you could do better in 2017. We want to do better than what we've done before.
Amen.
God freely gives his gifts if we ask for them. So what are we going to do with those gifts? You see, it's there for us. Brother Jonathan, with his job, he meets so many people that probably are in bad situations. Not every situation is good. But he has a chance that through his character, the way he treats the people, even though it might be a bad situation, if he just treats them like a person, that'll go a long ways. He ain't got to never tell anybody he's a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
Second, pray for the Lord's help eagerly. Your right as a Christian is that you can speak to your Father.
That's right.
You're not shut away in a room and he's not going to not listen to you. If you don't know the answer, ask him. He'll show you.
Amen.
May not be in the time that you want, but I'm telling you, he's going to reveal it to you some way. I've told you about one of my sermons that I didn't know what I was going to do that week, and I've talked to another friend of mine. I met Chris Jarman from Poston Baptist Church, and we were talking, and you just never know sometimes how that word is going to come to you. You never know sometimes how that's going to come, and all of a sudden, a buddy... post something on Facebook, and I knew exactly that's what I was supposed to talk about, because I've been thinking about it all week, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was like that confirmation that I needed to speak on that subject. Call him. If you need to ask for his strength and wisdom, do that. Don't be afraid to call on him, because we cannot do it alone in this new year. We have to have him at the forefront of everything we do. Third, we need to consider what the church is and what the church does. The church is a mercy place. It inhales the mercy of the Father by death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus back into heaven. It then exhales the mercy of love towards our neighbors and loved ones. So the things that he's given us inside of the church are things that we should go out and spread to others. We should go out and share with our neighbors. We should go out and share with our family and let them know how proud we are of this man called Jesus and what he's done for us. We are the church. The church people get mixed up and they call it the building. It's not. It's the people that are inside. It's members of God's family.
Amen.
And we must show that love and grace that God has given us to others. And we have to do that. If you have not done that in 2016, well, it's gone. It left yesterday. Today is a time for new time for you. It's a time for change. It's a new year. It's a new life. It's a new rebirth for you. You don't give up on what's going on. You give it to him.
Amen.
Pray about it. Oh, Sammy, I still got to deal with the situation. That's all right. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Don't give up. Guess what? When you give up, when you start saying, I don't know, that's when things happen. You don't think I'm wrong? You think I'm wrong? Think back to some of the situations that you've dealt with and you just felt like you were so lost, you didn't know what to do. But when you give it back over to him and you started really praying about that situation, boy, those answers come. You never know where they're going to come from. Be thankful. Fourth, what are you giving to the church? I don't mean money. It's nice if you have money. It's nice if you can give to the church. I know we should all help out. That's how the church functions and goes, but you'll never hear me preach on tithing. I think everybody gives. I don't think tithing is always a monetary amount. I think it deals with service, too. It deals with what you can give back to the church. It deals back what you can give to the community. This is a time of fellowship with one another. We go out and we can visit others. We can witness. We can participate in church events. We can't say that we're not going to do that. If the church has agreed to do something, be a supporter of it. Even if you don't even like it, just come and do it and be a part of it. There may be something for you there. You never would have thought that that event would have been good for you. You need to do it anyway. As we come up on the calendar where we're trying to do things for the new year, bring those ideas that you may have. If you didn't want to do one thing, but you said I might would do this other, we'll bring it. We need to do more things. We need to grow more as a church, not in number, but in our hearts. We need to grow more and love one another who we are. The growing will come, I believe, because once you have all that inside and it's shouting out, then those other people are going to see that.
Amen.
Our visitors today can see a church that's loving and someone that cares about them. That's what it ought to see when we go out.
Amen.
Where do you go to church at? Well, I go out in that little waff out there, that little church. Full of love. I told you the first time I ever walked in here, there was this feeling that I got. And I can't explain to anybody unless you've ever received that feeling before. But I'm telling you, the love is here.
Amen.
It's what we're going to do with it. Is going to be the next question for 2017.
Right. Amen.
You see, we want to grow. We want to add different ministries to the church. We've come back and brought the men's ministry back, and I hope that we can do more with that, and we have more visitors coming in and doing things. And even for this year, I did speak with the pastor at Poston, Solomon Lowe. So, you know, I'm there all the time, but we had talked about having a joint service, you know, getting together and doing a spring-type function or something. So we'll be looking at getting together. And what we want to do is that we're not just closing off these four walls. We want to go out. We want to fellowship with one another. We want to go out and share that with other churches. We want to go out and share with other Christians. So we're going to have, I'm going to try to plan some random events that we do. We'll give everybody plenty of time because sometimes we may do it here, sometimes we may do it at that other church. But one of the things is I have different friends that are pastors out there. Why not join together? Why not get together and love one another? The new year brings change. Why not go out there? I mean, I love getting together. Y'all know I like to talk because you see it's 10 after 12. I'm just saying that with the new year brings change. And you could change all day long in the new year, but if you don't have God as a part of it, you're not changing everything you need to change. God wants you to be prosperous this year. He doesn't ever want you to be a failure.
That's right.
You do that for your own self.
That's right.
We talk ourselves down. We say we're not good enough. But let me tell you that He loves each and every one of us.
Amen.
As we go back to what the shepherds were the first one to be asked to come see the baby Jesus.
Yes.
You see, because He didn't have no favorites. He didn't have no one. He didn't go out and get the royal elite, if you will. He got somebody just like me and you. He went to that group and gave them the announcement. What are you going to do in 2017? What kind of changes are you going to make? Is God in that plan for you? Let us pray. Lord, we just thank You today for the opportunity You've given us, Lord, to be in Your house for the new year. You know, we don't have very many years that we actually could be in Your house New Year's Day on a Sunday. We are so glad that 2017 is going to be this year. It's going to be the year of the church that we're going to see change. Every year we say we're going to do it. Well, Tuesday we have a chance to make that change. We have a chance to come and be a part of the planning committee for the new year. Every idea counts. Every idea can be done. Every idea should be thought of. Everything, as long as God is in it, it will be good.
Yes.
It will be successful. It's not the number that shows up. It's the number that gets the feeling out of it. If there's two people that come and 100% receive that feeling, that's all it was. It just takes one, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity You've given us as a church to do different things. We praise You for that opportunity You've given us to even have a place to come and worship You. Lord, we just ask that You be a part of our New Year's resolution. We ask that You help us and guide us and direct us throughout this new year, that we go out and we work for You, Lord, and that You're involved in everything we're doing, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name, amen.